Well, our text this Sunday, as you've noticed already, sort of revolve around water and thirst. And as I was thinking about that, the first thing that came to mind was that thirst can be a terrible thing, which is a riff on a joke from a long time ago about somebody making sure you bring enough to drink because, well, thirst is a terrible thing. They're going on a trip anyway. That's what struck me. And then I thought, but it's true. Thirst is a terrible thing. It's one of those things that we really cannot... Well, we can't function without enough water, of course, and what is it, I think 3 days or so is about as long as we can survive without it at all, not very long. And most of us, because we are so aware of water around us, don't really get thirsty terribly often. But if you're looking for a reminder of what it's like, just try going without water for a few hours, and I suspect you'll notice it as something that you're just not about to fool around with. When we're really, really thirsty, there isn't a whole lot we won't do for water. It's been one of the ongoing ways of encouraging people to say, to tell people things they don't want to tell them is by preventing them from having water. And so it's a very powerful metaphor, as well as a reality that's used in a couple of different ways in our texts. We see in the Old Testament, we see the people of Israel, when they are running out of water, or at least feeling they're running out of water, sort of lose everything they've learned. At this point in the Exodus, they have seen God do miraculous and extraordinary things for them. And from our perspective, it's easy for us to say, what's wrong with those people? Don't they know God's going to take care of them? And, well, there's nothing wrong with those people. They're thirsty. They're running out of water and they want it. And maybe they should have gone about it in a better way or been a little more measured in their speaking about what they wanted, but that's what they did, and it caused them difficulties. In our gospel lesson, we see the metaphor of water being explored more as a metaphor than just the liquid that we drink, because there are lots of different thirsts. There's the thirst for water, of course. There's the thirst for knowledge, which is one of those things that has kept all kinds of scientists and researchers of all kinds plugging away at things for much longer than the rest of us would ever think of. How many different filaments did Tom Edison try before he finally got something that worked in a light bulb? It was hundreds of them. Most of us would quit after 10 and just move on to something else. But there's something inside him that drove him forward, and that thirst for knowledge, you run across it every once in a while in people you know. These are the people who are always taking another course, they're always taking another class, they're telling you about the latest thing they read because it taught them something, and they're delightful people to be around. And it's, if for some of us we're interested in things, they're more so. There's the thirst for connection to relationship that is critical to our existence. I mean, they're now beginning to realize that one of the single best predictors of a shortened life is loneliness. We need to be in connection. We need it physically, and we know ourselves that we need it otherwise. And the problem with all of these thirsts is that we can go to places that aren't as good for us. Now, it's a little bit more difficult these days. In a developed country, you have to work pretty hard if you're thirsty for something to drink to go find some polluted water to drink. I mean, it's easier to find clean water to drink where we are for the most part. But when you're thirsty enough, you'll drink anything. We read stories of people who have been shipwrecked and are then stuck in a lifeboat and, maddened by thirst, drink seawater, which will finish you off fairly quickly. I mean, it's something that everybody knows, but they still do it. Why? Because of that desperate need to drink. People who are desperate for a relationship will take any kind of relationship that comes along if they're desperate enough. And I suspect all of us know at least one person who, when we think about it, and that person they got connected with, maybe even married or whatever it was, we just think, how could they not see what a disaster that was going to be? We could see it, but we weren't thirsty. We weren't desperate for that kind of connection. All of these thirsts have something in common, that we will work until we address them. And one of the things that I find so interesting is that all of them, with the exception of the physical thirst, all of these other thirsts we have, in a very real sense, come back to a thirst for essential meaning. We're desperate to be in a relationship, not just because we need the relationship, but often because it helps us know who we are, and it demonstrates that we're a person of value. It means that we have meaning if we are in a relationship. All other kinds of things come with it, of course, but that's part of, and maybe even the root of that. Our thirst for comfort comes as much as anything from this deep desire to be deserving of comfort. And if we don't know that we're deserving of it, or we're not sure we're deserving of it, we'll acquire it anyway. And then we'll work our way backwards and say, well, if I have the comfort I need, then obviously I'm deserving of it. It doesn't last very long. It doesn't satisfy that essential need that we have. And what Jesus is talking about in the gospel lesson is that the thirst for essential meaning, the thirst for reality, the thirst for everything that matters begins on the inside of us and is best assuaged with Jesus. That the thing that gives us ultimate meaning is this relationship with God through Jesus. That empowered by the Holy Spirit, we understand that we have ultimate worth, ultimate value. If we have that kind of understanding of ourselves, we are so much less likely to step into destructive or codependent relationships. If we have that sense of our ultimate value, if we understand that we are loved from the inside no matter what we do, and before we've ever even required it or even known it was there, and certainly before we've earned it, we are less likely to turn to those other things that fill that loneliness within us. If it's not a relationship, for many people it's addictive behaviors of one kind or another, whether it's the obvious ones of drinking or drugs, or if it's shopping, or if it's inappropriate images, if it's a poor relationship with food. We do all of these things to try and fix that. And they're temporary fixes, but they cause more problems than they solve in the end. And so what we realize that what we're doing is we're looking to deal with a thirst in the wrong way. If somebody is desperately thirsty for water and you offer them a hamburger, they're not going to be as pleased. If somebody tells you they are dying for a drink of water and you give them a good book, you haven't helped them any. There's nothing wrong with a hamburger or a good book, but if you're not addressing the thirst that's actually there, you're not going to fix the issue, are we? Many of us have tried to fix these issues, these thirsts for meaning, for significance, for relationship, for connection, for a sense of worth, whatever they might be, in other things. And they work for a moment. They work for a time. But they're not really solving things. You frequently run into people, that tends to be an issue more among the young than thankfully among most of us, who are really thirsty, so they turn to vigorously caffeinated and sugared beverages, which will temporarily alleviate your thirst, to be sure. But if you keep that up, it's not as good for you. It doesn't do the job as well. It's a temporary fix. Dehydration is not addressed at its best by consuming things that increase dehydration, which is one of the things caffeine does. Not enough to kill you, of course, but when you're thirsty, what is it that you should really be looking for, and what do you really want? Well, it's water. It's these things that replenish what's missing. When you're desperate for a sense of meaning, you can achieve that by becoming notorious. You can achieve that by having everybody know your name because, oh, you're the one that threw the rock through the window of the community center. But there are better ways to do it. that are more lasting. If you're desperate for relationship, you can achieve that momentarily through all kinds of ill-thought means, whether it's just picking people up at bars and such things, whether it's engaging in online relationships with people you don't know or anything of the kind. That will fix that for a moment. That will make you feel better for a time, but it doesn't address the fundamental issue that you need to be in relationship with a person that has give and take both. Somebody said if you're desperate for friends and you don't care what they are, you can always buy them or at least rent them for a while. You know, you pay enough money, you can have a party that you can pay people to come. You pay actors, they'll even pretend they know and like you. And I suppose that might make you feel better for a moment. But what is it that we really want when we want relationship? We want to be in a connection with a person who knows us and whom we know. All of these things come from this inner sense of who we are. And the cliche almost of all of us having a God-shaped hole within us is true. Augustine says we're restless until we find our rest in you, O God. There's something missing in us until we have that ultimate connection. And Jesus is talking about that in the gospel lesson, saying that when you are thirsty for anything, part of that thirst is always going to be for a connection with God. A connection with a God who loves you, who has always loved you and always will. The one dependable relationship you can have, even in a great marriage, even in a great friendship, one of those lifelong friendships, there's always been moments of tension, of stress, and that's just normal. That's the way it is with human beings. With God, that's not there, at least not on God's side. Thirst can be a terrible thing, but it's most terrible when we go to address the thirst we have in the wrong place. And when we look at the challenges that are all around us and the people who are struggling in all these various areas, we often see a desperate thirst for connection, for relationship with God and with others that's being addressed in other areas. The good news is that if we address that initial thirst, if we are in that connection, that relationship with God through Jesus, the rest of them are so much easier to manage. Because with that relationship comes the Holy Spirit to help us discern who we should be in relationship with, where we should go to find an answer to those other thirsts we have. Because if thirst can be a terrible thing, having that thirst fixed, having it taken care of, having it all assuaged, is a wonderful thing. And it begins with that relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit that's open for all of us. Amen.